This Bible talk, titled Escape, is on Psalm 124 and is part of our Summer Psalms series on the Songs of Ascent. It was given at Robina on Sunday the 30th of January 2022.
Being alone is only ever a few bad choices away. I didn't know it was the world's largest limestone plain. It has over 250 limestone caves. It's also known for its extensive media deposits. The arid climate there keeps them well preserved. But none of that was of any interest to me, and certainly not of any use when I was there. The name Nullarbor is Latin. It means no trees. Its Aboriginal name, Urundi, means waterless. The Nullarbor Plain stretches over 1,200 kilometres from Norseman in Western Australia to Sejuna in South Australia. And after a string of bad choices on my part and some poor life choices, that's where I found myself, age 16, alone on the Nullarbor. You see, I lied about my age to get the job. I wasn't 18, and faking an ID used to be easy. So they flew me from Sydney to Perth, but the job didn't work out. Selling encyclopedias door-to-door only pays a commission, and I didn't make any sales. So I'm in Perth trying to find my way back home. Asking for help would be an admission of failure, and I was far too proud to experience this thing called shame. I didn't have enough money for a flight, barely enough cash for a bus ticket, so I stuck out my thumb on the highway and hitched a ride to Sydney. I got a lift from Perth to Norseman. That's as far as he was going, though, and so it was as far as I was going as well. I must have waited there for hours by myself. Standing by the highway, the air highway, the light started to fade very quickly. I had no food, no water, no shelter, no money, nowhere to go and no one to turn to. 16 and all alone in Australia's outback, I spent the night by the side of the road in the desert. Every passing car felt like a betrayal. Every truck intensified my shame. Traffic noise raised my expectations but quickly left me with more disappointment. Eventually boredom, at least for a 16-year-old, moves to loneliness. Loneliness turns to hallucination. I thought the crows were starting to talk to me. But hallucination then gives way to sadness. That night on the Nullarbor, friends, I realised that no one was coming for me. Being alone is only ever a few bad choices away, but arriving at the destination called loneliness has other departure gates than just bad choices. People, events, and circumstances shape our lives, and maybe they've conspired against yours. But once you've told yourself that they have, once you've believed this story to be true about yourself, it kind of gets stuck on repeat in the background, doesn't it? It becomes harder and harder to hear anything different. But that's what I want to go after with you here this morning, that feeling that you have that no one is coming for you, that no one cares, that no one understands, that no one is interested, that no one finds you interesting, that you're all alone and that you're on your own and that no one is coming for you. That's what we're going to go after this morning. You see, people will let you down. Circumstances will change. Events lead to disappointment. But Psalm 124 tells us a different story, and I wonder if you might begin to hear it with me. This psalm sings a different song for us. It moves us to change our tune. Bad decisions and poor life choices, people, circumstances and events, they've all conspired together so that the people of Israel were in exile. It was their poor choices that landed them in Babylon. It's a very long way from home. Their bad decisions sent them into exile, away from God, away from his promises. After 70 years of captivity, God's people now make their way back home. Having crossed the arid Saudi desert plains, they're now heading up to Jerusalem. Psalms 120 to 134, you'll remember, are a collection of psalms, psalms known as the Psalms of Ascent. These are pilgrim songs. They are songs for the journey home. Songs for the returning exiles and their generations who now make their way up to Jerusalem for worship. After 70 years stranded as foreign captives, 70 years waiting for a ride home, These people felt alone. They felt displaced and abandoned. They believed that no one was coming for them. They felt ashamed and they were afraid. Bad choices and poor decisions had got them to there, but now they are climbing the steps of the temple. After enduring a lifetime of suffering, they sing a new song and start moving to a different beat. You see, Psalm 121, you'll remember, is a song that looks for help. It's a song that asks questions. See it again with me, Psalm 121, verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? But Psalm 124 is a song that's found that help. It's a song that provides answers, answers that are contrary to the fact. Psalm 124, verse 1, see it with me. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us. Trouble has come upon the people of God. Other people have risen up against them. They've been oppressed and mistreated, treated as slaves, disrespected and disregarded, discarded, opposed by openly hostile threats and intimidation, made in the image and likeness of God, but treated as less than by others who bear his image as well. But this isn't just the cry of one man, friends. This is the anthem of an entire nation. Not just a lone man whistling a simple tune, a whole nation now belting out pridefully in song, let all Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side. A whole nation bearing witness to this undeniable and indisputable truth that the Lord is on our side. So powerful is his testimony. So moving is this national tribute that the lyrics are repeated for emphasis. Emphasis is the goal of repetition. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. Interestingly, almost every English translation that you might have in front of you says something similar to the words, the Lord is on our side. The ESV, the NIV, the NLT, the NRSV, the KJV, the HSBC, all translate these words this way, the Lord is on our side. But the Hebrew simply says lanu, which means with us or for us. If it had not been the Lord who was for us. Ironically, the most accurate English rendering of Psalm 124, verse 1, is the translation in the book, The Message. If God hadn't been for us. And while that might sound academically trivial and interesting, but largely irrelevant, thanks, Mike, when we start thinking that God is on our side, it alters our thinking and misplaces our expectations. We start to believe that God should come through for us. After all, God is on my team. He's on my side. That God exists to help me win. That God assists me in achieving all of my life goals. But when your life starts scoring own goals against you, when all you start to receive are hospital passes, then our emotions get tripped up by our bad theology. God's no longer playing the game by my rules and playing the way I want him to. It's not that the Lord is on our side. If anything, friends, it's that we are on God's side. God is for us, but that doesn't mean that God does everything for us. It means that God is with us even when things don't go our way. God's always for us, always present, always at work with and within his people. And so the question at any given moment, and how about now, isn't that God isn't if God is working in us. The question is, what work is God doing in us now? You see, God never stops paying attention to you. It's us who stop paying attention to him. Psalm 121, remember, God never sleeps nor slumbers. The one who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. But when people and circumstances and events, they rise up against us, it's then that our attention tends to shift away from God and we start focusing on the resolution to our problems rather than on the solution that God's already offered for us. God uses all of these things, you see, people, circumstances, and events to get your attention. Israel had stopped listening to God. He sent them into exile, but now they are highly attuned to him and everything that he says. If God hadn't been for us, all together now, Israel, sing out, if God hadn't been for us. The condition of using the word if is always then. Whenever you see the Bible use the word if, then, it's always on the condition that it will use a then after it. If you ever see an if, then start looking for a then. Now, we've already seen all the ifs of Psalm 124. If God hadn't been for us, if God hadn't been for us when people rose up against us, then this is what would have happened next, verse 3. Then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away. The torrent would have gone over us. Then over us would have gone the raging waters. If God had not been for us, then their future outlook was bleak. Swallowed up, washed away, washed over, overwhelmed, overrun, overcome. Destroyed by anger, taken out in a torrent of rage, swept away by a tide of devastation. If God had not been for us, do you see how this works? Then this is what would have happened. Then this is what would have become of them. And I know that we don't normally do this together on a Sunday, but just for a silent moment with me now, I want to invite you just to consider on your own for a moment your very own if and then condition. If God hadn't been for you, then what might the outcome of your life be now? If God hadn't been with you, then what the condition would your life be in at this present moment? So are you ready to sing a new song? Because David is. David, who wrote Psalm 124, knew what it was like to be up against it. David is anointed the king over Israel. In 2 Samuel chapter 5, he's taken Jerusalem from the Jebusites. Now the Philistines, they aren't very happy about this, but come to think of it, the Philistines are never happy about anything. So they rise up against him, that's David, in 2 Samuel 5 verse 18. Won't you see the words behind me? Now the Philistines had come and spread out in the valley of Rephahim, and David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you give them into my hand?" And the Lord said to David, "Go up, for I will certainly give the Philistines into your hand." And David came to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breaking flood." Therefore the name of that place is called Baal Perazim. God delivered David. The Lord was with him. Baal Perazim means Baal. Baal is broken. God defeats his enemies. David was about to be swallowed up. So God breaks open the floodgates against his enemies. David's opposition want to overrun him, but God overcomes his opponents. In their anger, they seek to destroy David, but God sweeps them away in his fury. God gives victory to his people. Thank God, friends, that he is for us. It's not the first time that Israel's been rescued, is it, though? God always delivers his people. God washed away the opposition before. Not for the first time have waters raged with his anger. Listen as the waves pound the enemy again. Exodus 14, verse 25. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and upon their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. Fair warning here, friends, to you. Fair warning. If you mess with the people of God, God will mess with you. That's what God promised Abraham's descendants. Whoever dishonors you, I will curse. Israel, ensnared in slavery by the Egyptians, now escaped the trap of their captors. The Lord fights for his people. If God hadn't been for us, let all of Israel now say, the entire Egyptian army is crushed. Not one of them survive. Israel walk across the sea like it's dry ground because the Lord saves his people. God's always with his people. He always rescues us from our enemies. God is always for us. He has defeated all of our captors. God is always at work in us, delivering us from the destruction that is to come. And as the exiles return from captivity in Babylon, they make their way now up to Jerusalem. They sing these psalms, psalms of ascent. They sing Psalm 124. And it's a song that echoes Israel's redemption story of God's deliverance through Moses and David. Now, I know I've been saying that this is a new song, but the new is the work that God is now doing in us. And God teaches us a different song, different to the same old story that we continue to tell ourselves that no one is coming for me. You see, God delivers. God helps. God rescues. God comes for us. God with us. God for us. Not just a song for one person, but the anthem of every person sitting around you this morning. It's the new song the scripture plays often and on repeat against the false story that we've been telling ourselves. It's not a tragic, woe is me. This is an upbeat, blessed be the Lord. Listen for the key change. It's in verse 6. Blessed be the Lord who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. After an entire lifetime of suffering, and 70 years is a lifetime, isn't it? 70 years of slavery and exile, after so many bad decisions and so many poor choices, decisions and choices that they have made, consequences that led them to be here in this place, they can now sing a different song. Or is it the same song but with a new tune? This is no longer a tale of woe is me, but the moving testimony of blessed is he. You see, this is a homecoming celebration. Returning to Jerusalem, ascending the steps now for worship. Blessed be the Lord. Because they weren't given over to destruction. And they weren't left trapped and ensnared. And they weren't consumed by their enemy. They've escaped. But they didn't escape by themselves. You see, God has come for them. God has come to them. Remember their situation. It was all but over, overwhelmed, overrun, overcome, over it. The word escaped, can you see it? It's in the passive, which means their escape was done for them. It means they've been set free by someone else. It means they were able to flee for safety because someone else helped them, because God came for them, no longer trapped, but released them from the prison they were in. They needed help. The Maker of heaven and earth helped them. The Lord fights for his people. And the Lord wants to set you free as well. Free from the same old story you've been telling yourself. Free from the same old mistakes that you keep on making. Free from slavery to sin and all of its consequences in your life. But friend, we need to start looking to our helper instead of focusing on the problems that are before us. As if it was like dry ground, Jesus walks on the water. And when his disciples see him, they think that they've seen a ghost, and so they cry out in fear. Do you remember what Jesus says to them? Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Peter says, Lord, if it's really you, command me to come to you on the water. And so Jesus tells Peter to come. Let's pick up the action. Matthew 14, verse 29. So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt?" When trouble comes our way, we immediately start looking for a way out of it. Seriously, who isn't looking for a way out of something at the moment? I'm the only one at 10:30 as well. We focus on what's before us rather than focusing on the one who's gone before us. We feel trapped and stuck and caged and boxed in, like we're sinking, like we are drowning. We're easily frightened and afraid. We think that no one is coming for us. And so we start to look for a way to escape, a way out. But our escape from our mistakes that we've made, our escape from the wrong things that we've done, our escape from the old story that we've been telling ourselves and started to believe, has already been offered for you. The Lord has defeated our enemies. Friends, our help is in the name of the Lord as well, and his name is Jesus. Jesus stretches out his hand for Peter to help him. And then he stretches out his arms in death to help you. We look for a way out of our own troubles, but we need to look to the solution that has already been offered for us. You see, the cross is the place where God comes for you. The cross is the place where God is for us. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Why do you doubt? Friends, God wants to tell his story in you. It's the story that he tells, and he wants us to tell everyone else. If God hadn't been for us, then he wouldn't be at work in your life like he is right now. But he is at work in you right now, and he's trying to get your attention. Will you pray with me? We don't know anymore, Lord, what tomorrow brings. And we don't know a way out. And we don't know a way through, and we don't know a way ahead. But we do know that you've gone before us. And we do know that you're with us. And we do know that you love us. And that you fight for us. And you've provided for us so that we might know forever that you are for us. Would you help us, whatever it is that lays heavy on our hearts this morning, whatever concerns that we might have about today or tomorrow, whatever guilt or pain or shame we feel about the past, would you help us today? Would you tell us right now that you are telling a different story in us? A story that you want to shape and change. A story that declares the praises of your Son. A song that is different to the one that we've been singing. A song that is different to the one that the world lives. Help us, Lord Jesus, to know that you are with us and for us, even when everything feels against us. And so rather than focusing on the problems that we face, or the uncertainty that we have, or the desires that have not been met yet, would you help us to look to Jesus? Amen.